Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's bring on Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield to talk about these Penguinis. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline.
The big man.
Jay, how are you?
Good, Joe. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, Jay. It's great to hear you and do your work on TV as I watch. Your breakdowns are great. And last night was a big win. I just, the way they're playing, it seems like they've tightened things up a little bit in the neutral zone, and they come away with a win against a very good hockey club. And they had to dig out to do it.
Yeah, I think the LA Kings are built, and that's without their star defenseman, too. We had Drew Doughty's been out, and they've had a really good first half of the year. And playing, they seem well coached, right? They play a great system. They're defensively, they're always on the right side, But the Penguins exploited by their work, strong defense on the Penguins side, and then the work on the forecheck and just caused a little bit of problems, and they got opportunities. And again, it was a big win. I think even this stretch, and Joe and Bob, I think a couple weeks ago I mentioned there was going to be a 10-game stretch coming up that was very difficult, and the Penguins have turned their game around inside of that 10-game stretch and even into these next two that we've just seen. Strong hockey. I think when you get good goaltending, number one, and then everybody feels that on the from the defense out. And they're all playing responsible hockey. And at times when there's a breakdown, you need your goalie to pick you up. And it's going to happen because the other teams are extremely talented too. But when that's happened, Ned was really good last night. And they get the 2 points and keep themselves on a good roll when a lot of other teams, guys, are not playing well. And the New York Rangers being one, the Buffalo Sabres have been awful. So a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, the Penguins have climbed up, and with teams not playing that good, they're finding themselves in a good position getting towards Christmas.
Jay, give us a guy or two who has sparked this revival here, because it's now been, 7-2-1, I think, in their last 10?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a little space of time now. Who are some of the guys who have sparked it in your mind?
Oh, I think right away, I'm going to talk about that Lizotte, because we've talked about him on TV. I thought a couple weeks ago, I'm sure we brought it up last week, I thought Lizotte with Bunting and Beauvillier was all of a sudden the start of a third line that was really good for the Penguins, right? It was really good. They were on pucks. They all played and worked. They all became faster inside the game. They supported. And then Lizotte gets moved down to the fourth line, and I know Mike Sullivan's trying to find these mixes that go with all the lines, so you make them all very, the Malkin line, build that, and the third line be strong, and the fourth line all have a chance to produce offensively. But I think Blake Lizotte, since he's come back from the two injuries, that getting hit by a puck twice and putting him out for a while, I think that's the difference maker in the lineup. And there's speed, there's tenacity, just creates havoc. That's my one player, Joe. And I obviously also say on the blue line, you lose Pettersson, guys are stepping up. Carlson's game has picked up. I think when he was playing with Pettersson, he just got better. Their plus-minus numbers were getting to the right side. And Pickering, young defenseman, another one there that's just kind of stepped in. He's on the first pair with Chris Letang. And I think those guys that play in the third pair, Grzyk was on the right side as a left-handed defenseman. And you saw Shea do it last night when Pettersson went out. Grzyk moved up. That's a tough spot to be in, but they've all done a great job. And I think splitting up the power play and having two units was a very good thing to kind of try and spark that. That's all my pieces on top of the goaltending having to be good. And it's all starting to turn around.
Yeah, you mentioned Blake Lizotte. He's been really good. But I think, you know, what's carried them clearly is lack of scoring from Crosby and Malkin in this stretch. And they've been able to get a lot of secondary scoring, which is something I think everybody talks about. But having said that, watched last night, and I was so impressed by Crosby's third period. I think he could have had 4 points. The backhand pass that he made to Matt Grzelcyk was just vintage Sidney Crosby, how much he had on that pass and where he put it so that he can make that. But aside from then, Rickard Rakell and Brian Rust, those are two guys I like to focus on because I think of the core. When they mention core, most people don't include them, but they're core pieces here. And both of them have played extremely well, I think, which bodes well moving forward.
Yeah, Bob, I'm probably remiss in not mentioning. I mean, when I said who are these difference makers coming up, certainly those two on the given night when Rust had the hat trick and turned that game around in Montreal, and then you see Rakell's being steady, having a really nice comeback season with what he went through last year. And I think all athletes, right, Bob and Joe, all athletes go through stretches of something, unless you're Mario, maybe, right? You're Crosby.
Crosby
feels
right.
Like he's off, and he's had 10 points in 10 games, right? But he's not, hasn't scored. But I agree with you about last night. I thought the same thing. I thought the first line tilted the ice against L.A., and they just they dominated, and they had opportunity after opportunity, and eventually Rakell gets the winner. But, yeah, all those parts, Russ, Rakell, they've all kind of, you know, come together. And I think the other key point that you both have mentioned is that they have done that without Malkin and Crosby getting on the score sheet as far as goals are concerned. And with that happening, I don't know when – it's been a couple of years since you've been able to see that or rely on that. And the depth scoring that they're getting, timely goal scoring – has been very big, and you certainly need that in this. So if you couple that with maybe when Crosby and Malkin get it going on this goal-scoring side, it's a really nice – you have a great attack then. And they've been able to do it and climb and get the 500 as far as wins and losses are concerned, not the OTL thing. It's kind of a wacky number all the time anyway. But for me, they've climbed up, and they're getting depth scoring. And it's only a matter of time before Crosby kind of starts to lay it up as far as goals are concerned.
Does the goaltending, and last night was good, but by and large, does that still remain a concern for you? And, man, when I think about it, if that comes together, what they might have.
Yeah, so, Joe, I think this, and I believe that, and I know this, and I mentioned this on TV. You can tell by the starts that Tristan Jarry has gotten. He comes back from all the Wilkes-Barre stuff. Everything has gone through the ups and downs. The mental, probably anguish, I would say, to go through like, as an athlete, as I was just starting to touch on, when you go through a bad stretch and you fight yourself out of it. And trust me, I believe this, it's in any sport or any role you have on a team, when it's not going right and you're trying to right the ship and you got to right it in front of 20,000 people and the pressure's on you, makes it difficult, right? So he's trying to find his way back. I think Jarry got the starts. He's getting the starts that they're saying you're our number one guy. They had to get Ned in last. They had to get him in soon. They couldn't let him, Andy Kyoto does a great job with the goaltenders. They couldn't let, Ned sit much longer before his next game. He comes in last night, gets a big win for his team, and I would expect you to go right back to Jarry. I'm guessing that's what it would look like because he's the number one. Ned is an outstanding backup. They have to have Jarry be the number one. It has to be. He has to produce like that. So, Joe, I do think that's turned the corner. Will it be a concern? I think it'll be a concern, and this is maybe unfair, but until you see that put together a long stretch, people will always have – it'll always be a question mark. But the fact of the matter is there's nothing else out there that's going to be better than what the – really, look across the board. There's nothing out there. Tristan Jarry has to be the guy that picks it up and pick it up himself. and for the team, and they're starting to do that with the help of your goaltending coach and Andy Kyoto and all the things that go with that. I think they're turning the corner, and you have to keep this on a roll because it'll only be one game when everybody will turn again the other way, right? It won't. They're in a great role. If you have one off night, everybody's going to be on it again. They have to have one great run, and then you're going to get to the playoffs. And this is the unfair part. Until he wins series in a playoff, we're going to get to that conversation when hopefully we're in April talking about that. But that's the way it works when you're in that position, and the Penguins are in the position that they've been in over the last number of years. All these things are going to come together, each and every step and milestone you have to hit. But as a goaltender, they need to have steady nights, each and everything. And I mean, stop what you're supposed to. You know, steal a few, but don't let the soft goal in. I'll say it. Everybody will tell you that. They'll always tell you that. That deflates a bench. And right now the Penguins are starting to see. We're not seeing that as much. You know, you're on a roll. Keep it going. And, Joe, until they do it for a long period of time, I still think it'll be a question mark.
Let me ask you, Jay, about perusing the Eastern Conference. You mentioned teams that are falling backwards, and the Rangers are certainly one of them. Yep. They have some issues there. But the Washington Capitals, much to my surprise, have one of the best records in all of hockey, and they're doing this without Alex Ovechkin largely over the last couple of weeks. What has made them different? I mean, I did not – I don't know. Maybe I'm just not paying enough attention to the team they have and some of the young players because they got some young players. McMichael's one of them who's just stepping up, making big-time plays. What has been their secret to being this good, this fast, in a season where I don't think many people thought they were going to be one of those teams?
No, you're right, Bob. Now, I think they've lost a couple in a row, if I'm correct now. I mean,
well, they lost to Dallas the other night, And I don't know if they – did they play last night?
Yeah, so I think they might have – maybe I might be off, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, they have been – that is one. If you look at a surprise that is to the season, that is the one right there. So I think they've just kind of found the right pieces, just like Kyle Dubas was trying to put pieces together to kind of push this, like, not say rebuild when you have Sidney Crosby signed to stay here. He's not here to be rebuilding. He's here to win. So somehow Washington just pulled the right pieces. They make a Chychrun trade. They bring him in for the blue line, send a good defenseman who I like in Nick Jensen to Ottawa. I mean, their goaltending has been good. All those kind of things, to me, have what put them in this position. And they're hardworking, again, well-coached, fast. Quick. I mean, when you got to be fast and quick in this league, and there's differences, we know. I mean, to me, there's fast, there's speed, but then there's a quickness. Lazat shows a quickness. Like Mark Recchi when he used to play. Mark Recchi was quick to, hop and get places quick. It's those type of players. They have guys that are with speed. They have toughness. They have great goaltending right now. They build up their decor with Carlson and Chychrun added to that mix. He's found the right spot. Ovechkin starting off great, and you don't want to see these superstars go down because they mean stuff to the game. People want to see that. The NHL needs Ovechkin to be in this game and doing what he's doing, just like they need Sidney Crosby. I mean, it's still, to this day, these are the players that people relate to. So, yeah, they found a way, and they're well-coached. The GM has done a great job putting pieces together, and they're right there. Now, at any given time, we see there's stretches, and it can go sideways, and you can be caught. And I believe Carolina's stumbled, and they play a hard type of game, brand of hockey, man-on-man. And then when it goes sideways and your goaltending isn't good, you slide down the ladder. And that's what we're seeing. But Washington certainly, Bob, for this, they've been a great surprise. And, again, I think having the Capitals be good is good for the league. And they need it.
Jay Caulfield brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, great stuff as always. I can't wait till you and I and Mario and Bob get out on the course. That's going to be awesome. Thank you, sir.
Joe? Why don't you get out, net jets, fly us someplace? If you're going to do this, you may as well just go all out, I think.
My private jet is booked for a while, Bob, but I'll get out there. Thank you, Jay.
Merry Christmas, Jay.
What a man he is, huh, Bob?
He's the best. Very, very, very dedicated golfer. I'll say that, man. He can play.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
We are back with the Pomp and Joe Show. Bob Pompiani, Joe Starkey with Austin in the background, freshly cut hair, and Dan from Waynesburg, who's back there as well. So my question would be, is Dan learning anything here back there?
I think we should ask him. Dan, are you learning anything?
Dan, are you learning?
I'm learning a lot. Food side of things, I think it's good, but I am learning a lot.
Yeah, see, he comes in here on a day when food takes center stage.
The pizza was here. Slice on Broadway, bringing it as always. Thank you to Slice.
Slice, yeah, they do a very good job. Well, we're talking about the Steelers and the Ravens coming up. And we have a special guest who knows intricately what's going on with the Ravens. So, Austin, first, before I do that, has this line moved at all?
It's been pretty steady, right around 5.5, 6.5, right in that area.
All right, well, I think if you look at it, it's probably the right line for it. Let's go to Rob Long, who's somebody who is very close to the Ravens, and has shed some light. Actually, Rob, I want to ask you this because Mike Tomlin made a big point about Dean Pease the other day at his press conference, with rightfully so. But you were the guy.
Can I stop you for one second? Now, this slice that you talk about.
You want to go to the pizza? You want to go to the pizza first?
Same franchise as here in Baltimore. So what is your go-to slice? What do you want on it?
Oh, I'm more of just a pepperoni, maybe some sausage kind of guy. Joe, I don't know about you, but I don't like some of it gets a little too intense for me when you just put everybody. It's like a garbage pizza, so you know what I mean? There's too much stuff on it. Do you like that? You sound like someone who might like that.
No, I like the ground beef and extra cheese. I'm that guy. Ground beef, extra cheese. I don't do pork. But ground beef and extra cheese.
That's a taco, not pizza.
Do you like pineapple on it? Because some people prefer pineapple.
Nah, I don't like pineapple. No. It's not an upside down cake.
Did you know I was a pizza cook, Bob? I used to have 12 pizzas going in the ovens.
Yeah. I used to throw it in the air. A place called Bambino's in Swickley. Yep.
Where'd you do it?
A place called Krusty's Pizza here in Baltimore.
Angry customers? Because there were at Bocce's Pizza in Buffalo where I did it. The customers were never happy.
My nickname was Mario.
Rob,
I'm sorry. Dean Pease, let's go.
Dean Pease. I wanted to ask you about him because
that's what I brought up.
Yeah,
I'm
you were right on. The last time we talked to you, going into that first game, you were like, "This seems to be more of a schematic problem because they have a lot of the same players." What's happened there? How are they better?
Schematics. You had a rookie defensive coordinator. Let me explain something to you. John Harbaugh likes to hire for familiarity. I don't think Zach Wilson was the best candidate for the job. However, Anthony Weaver didn't play under John Harbaugh. He played under Brian Billick. Zach Orr played under John Harbaugh. You look at the entire coaching staff, it's a coaching staff of familiarity. That's what he does. He hires his guys. Zach Orr, I'm not sure Zach Orr was ready for that job. So what do? You bring somebody that we're familiar with in to teach him how to be the defensive coordinator. And that's what happened. Good for Zach Orr. He got an opportunity. That's what we want. But I don't know if he was ready. You can't give opportunities out for a team that fancies itself a Super Bowl contender. You have to give guys who are already proven that they can do the job.
Especially in with that team, with that defense, with those expectations. Let me ask you something. Does this at any way put his job in jeopardy at the end of this season?
LaFleur?
Yes.
No. Harbaugh's going to protect him.
Even though he doesn't think he could get the job done and he had to bring in a consultant and someone who's, you know, to oversee it and change it?
He'll keep him. I'm telling you, that's how Harbaugh operates, man. He's stubborn. He's not going to get rid of him because chances are it was a Harbaugh move. So he's not going to move off of it after 1 year. He's not going to do it. He'll do whatever he can do to surround Zach Orr with the proper people to succeed. He'll make it work because if it's a Harbaugh move, I can't imagine it being anybody else's move because I don't think Eric DaCosta's first choice would have been Zach Orr to be the defensive coordinator for the team.
All right, Rob, let's move on to Lamar and the Steelers. I mean, this is just, it's stunning when you look at it. He's 2-5 against the Steelers, 5 touchdowns, 8 picks, no rushing touchdowns. This is the only team in the league that does this to him. I know Kansas City, he doesn't have a great record, but he played really well there earlier this year. He never plays well against the Steelers. Is it in his head?
You know, I'm glad you brought this up because I brought this up on the show today. I remember as a teenager, Michael Jordan was torching everybody in the NBA. Folks start saying, Craig Elo is the Jordan stopper. And Jordan got tired of that. He torched Elo, including the game winner at the end. I think Lamar Jackson's tired of hearing about Pittsburgh Steelers being the Lamar stopper. And I think he's going to address that this Saturday. I do. I just do. This guy, he's different. He's a generational talent. And he's a guy that is an ultra-competitor and wants to own everybody he plays against. You are factually correct. I'm not arguing what you're saying. It's fact because that's what's happened. But I think that, along with all this MVP talk, you know, Lamar hears what's going on, and I put my money on Lamar on Saturday.
Well, you mentioned MVP. He's won it twice. Josh Allen seems to be the favorite to win it this year, but if you look at the numbers, they're almost identical. In fact, in most cases, Lamar Jackson has – better numbers. In fact, a head-to-head win against him as well. Is the feeling down there that he is the guy who's going to win it again? Or is it like Myles Garrett winning it last year when I think most people just looked at Myles Garrett and say, yeah, it's due. He's due to win one, even though he may not have had the best resume because I still think T.J. Watt did.
You said it. T.J. Watt should have won. It's ridiculous. But how many times are you going to give it to T.J. Watt? Lamar Jackson at this point should win it, but how many times are you going to give it to Lamar Jackson? At some point, Shohei Ohtani is going to get robbed for the National League MVP award. You know why? Because somebody's going to ask, how many times can you give it to Shohei? Why did Michael Jordan not win it every year? Why does LeBron James not have more? Because at times, voters like to get cute, and they get tired of giving it to the same people all the time. This guy, in a short amount of time, has won 2 MVPs. Let's not get him too far out. And the voters will think Lamar will be – at this pace or win more, let's give it to Josh Allen a year that we can justify giving it to him. So that's why Josh Allen will win it.
Wait a second here.
Because T.J. Watt should have had it 100%.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt, although T.J.'s only won it once, but you don't think that Josh Allen has at least as good a case as Lamar this season?
No, but I think when you hear people talk about things like, well, the MVP race is sewn up, it's over, give it to Josh Allen, that's an agenda. That's an agenda.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Tell me how it sold up. You just said has just as much of a case. If you're telling me we haven't decided yet, in the next 3 weeks we'll decide it, then I hear you. But when you hear the talking heads talking about it's a wrap, then how is it a wrap? There's nothing suggesting it's a wrap on either side. It tells me there's an agenda and a push.
As there was last year.
MVP.
Right.
As there was last year. This is as there was last year. So go ahead. Give him the MVP, and then we'll reset this thing next year, and we'll have a real race.
Okay. No, I do hear you on that, actually, because Lamar's numbers are ridiculous. But if I had to vote today, it would be Josh, because I think he's doing more with less, and I also think his team is – they have 2 more wins, and I know the Ravens beat them, but the Bills are going to win their division here, and let's see if the Ravens do, because even if they beat the Steelers, they might not win the division, Rob. That's the problem for them right now.
And you're right about that. And as I said before, I don't care at this point because if you're not going to get a bye, and I know win the division, get a home game. Ravens are fine on the road. I'm not worried about that. You know, they had a home field advantage last year. That didn't do them any good. If you're not going to get that bye and home field throughout, then winning the division or not doesn't matter.
No, that gets back to our discussion today. See, the Ravens don't really care, I don't think, about that. And it's nice to win a division, Bob. We argued about this today, Rob, because we have a guy in our station saying that if the Steelers just win the division, they've had a successful year. I'm about the playoffs here. I guess the Ravens are too,
but
right?
I'm also saying, and Rob, you would agree, even though the Ravens can do well on the road, your preference is to play at home, correct?
Play the first game, at home, but it's only going to probably be the first game.
That's all right. It gets you to the second game.
After that, you become the Chiefs, and you have to get to the Super Bowl on the road. Would I like to win a division? Every fool is to say you wouldn't. But I don't think it's as important as getting the number one seed. Once you don't have that number one seed, after that, it's up in the air. It's all up in the air to me. I mean, I think the Ravens are just as good on the road. I think, actually, in this city, I think there's more pressure on playoff games at home than it is on the road.
But here's the, getting back to this, okay, the number one seed. But if you are the three seed, there is an advantage to get a home game against a team you should be favored to beat. If you don't, you fall down to where you're in territory potentially of taking on somebody like Buffalo again. And the Steelers, I don't want to see that matchup in the first playoff game that they have. If they fall, depending on where they fall, you know what I'm saying? For them, it's important to get a home game. And I'm never going to change my mind on that. Now, whether or not they lose it or win it's a whole different story. How they play that day will dictate that. But I would rather have a chance to get a home game and then go on the road.
And I stick with this. For the Ravens, doesn't matter to me. I don't think it really matters. Matchups do matter, I guess you can say that. But who they play on the road or at home, really doesn't matter to me. This is a team that's playoff and battle tested. You know, if you can't at this point go on the road and win a playoff game, then shame on you. This is a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year. This is a team that was the best team in the regular season of the National Football League last year. This is a team that had many battles with those playoff games, playoff teams that you talk about. If they have to go on the road in the postseason, I don't have any anxiety over that.
Rob Long from The Fan in Baltimore. All right, Rob. Justin Tucker. I mean, I could make an argument that if this guy was just like, you know, average, that they would have one or two more wins. What has happened to him? And do you think there's been any real internal consideration from moving on?
Well, you can't move on because at this point in the league, at this point in the season, who else are you going to find that you trust? You know, I still trust Justin Tucker more than I do some dude off the street in week 16. You know, if you're still home in week 16 as a kicker, then you're not very good. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're not very good. So I still trust Justin Tucker more. I think it's more between the ears because the distance is still there. But at some point, and I can't put my finger on it, he missed a field goal or extra point, and he's been overcompensating since then. And when that happens, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I don't pay that much attention to kickers until they start missing. So I think right now it's between his ears. He kicked 5 extra points on Sunday, split the uprights. So I'm hoping that's the beginning of him getting it out of his head. Late in the game, the Ravens kneeled the ball down, but they could have kicked the field goal. And I think they purposely didn't kick it because they wanted him to go 5 for 5 for extra points and not miss a field goal.
It looks like Bob's golf swing at this point. He seems to pull all of them, and then he was doing it the other way. And it seems also, Rob, to have been, at least from long range, a 3-year decline. He hasn't been the same in these last 3 years on the distance kicks. I don't know, man. If I'm the Ravens, I'm feeling very shaky because the Steelers have the best guy in the business.
Father Time is undefeated. He's been around since 2012. So if he's losing a little bit, that's just what happens. But I don't want another kicker right now other than Justin Tucker unless you can give me somebody that's successful on somebody else's roster, and that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get some dude off the street to come in and kick field goals for a team that's about to go to the playoffs. I don't trust that guy. My trust level for Justin Tucker is still higher than it is for that guy that has no resume that you're bringing to me.
So, Rob, based on this conversation, most people, when they watch the Ravens and the Steelers, expect the game to come down to a field goal or a one-possession game.
Yes.
It seems to me the Ravens would like to eliminate that thought altogether. And right? I mean, they don't take the ultimate pressure off of Justin Tucker, then you just score touchdowns, you don't worry about it. Can they do that? Do they want to play that sort of game? High scoring, throw it down the field more. Will they throw it down the field more? The last time I thought they got away from Derrick Henry. I thought Mike Tomlin did a good job of making that possible for the Steelers defense. They didn't run him as much as I thought they would. What is their game plan going into this?
First of all, with Derrick Henry fumbled the ball, John Harbaugh has this thing about fumbles, even with a Hall of Fame running back. And there were times Derrick Henry wasn't even on the field. And it really ticked me off.
Well, that's over coaching.
John Harbaugh thing. Yeah. Don't start me. Don't get me on that. Don't get me on that. All right. Don't do it to me. Because I'll end up on X all day with the quotes. But I'm just saying, I agree with you. On a close game, where's the king? This is why you brought the king in. He has to have 20-plus carries against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has to. It's a mucking-up rivalry game, and you've got the king in the backfield. Use him. Hand him the ball and let him do what the king does. And I hope to see that on Saturday. Lamar's great. Lamar's an MVP. I wouldn't take another quarterback over him. However, you've got the king in the backfield. It is the Ember. It is the Ember. Run the man. And I agree with you. They got away from that the first time they played against him because I will stand on it, and no one will ever admit it. I'll stand on this, guys. They got away from him because he fumbled early, because that's John Harbaugh's M.O. They got away from him because he fumbled early. Put the man on the field, run the man, use him and Lamar as the best running back, quarterback tandem in the National Football League. That's how you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What are the big injuries for the Ravens this week? Which players are we thinking might be in, might be out?
I don't think there's anything really super significant right now. I think most of those are on your side. I don't think there's anything super significant. They got out of New York, relatively speaking, healthy. They had some healthy scratches in New York, and nothing significant down the stretch when they played against the Giants. So I think they could be fine, health-wise.
I thought that bye week came at actually a good time for them because Michael Pierce got back. And he's what is he, in his 30s, older, but he's really important to what they do.
Yeah, he's a little bigger, too. Man, gosh.
Yeah, he gained some weight. Those five games he missed, but he's tough to move because of it.
He's tough to move. He's an anchor. I love him, man. He reminds me a little bit of Sam Adams. He's a load. He's a load. But health-wise, I think the Ravens, for this time of the year, they couldn't ask for more in terms of health. Good help. They got the wide receivers making big plays. It's been a while since all the wide receivers have been healthy like that at this point of the season. It's a good time right now.
All right, Rob, we can't let you go without getting back to the whole Patrick Queen thing the first time around because you were critical of the signing. You guys had a little social media thing, at least Patrick did. He played well against the Ravens. He did 10 tackles. He had a fumble recovery or a forced fumble and recovery in that game. He's been pretty good lately, to my eyes. Has he been better than you thought he would be in Pittsburgh?
Let me ask you this. You watch more Pittsburgh Steelers games than I do.
Yeah.
How many of his tackles are between the line of scrimmage and 3 yards or 5 yards and out?
Bob?
I would say it's a 50-50 split just based on watching. It may be different if I look back. Yes.
Yeah, he's not. At the end of the day, the box score is going to say he has a lot of tackles. But my question to you is how many plays did he make?
He made at least one big one in that Baltimore game.
Yeah, he's supposed to play well against the Ravens. That's his former team. But as a whole, if you signed him for that just to play against the Ravens, fine. As a whole, is he making tackles or is he making plays? I never said he couldn't make tackles. I question whether or not he can make plays. You know that better than I because you watch every Steelers game. And he made tackles with the Ravens. He didn't make plays.
Interesting, because the numbers every game you look at, his tackle output is very, very impressive.
And he has zero interceptions, no sacks, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovery.
How many tackles were lost?
That's a good question. Do you have that in front of you, Bob?
No,
I'm just saying. I mean, and outside of the Ravens game, I'll ask you this. Give me a Patrick Queen play. Dead air is not good for radio.
And you're absolutely right, though.
There's been some plays.
But, I mean, do
there's
you think been of one some plays behind the line. You put of us scrimmage. On the spot there. I got to.
Well, what do you want? A James
back.
Harrison Super Bowl play? I don't know. He's made a lot of plays.
Okay, well, give me one.
Right. Got five tackles for loss.
12.
He has five tackles for loss. Is that right, Limits?
That's what it says on the sheet, yeah.
Queen gets tackles. Patrick Queen gets tackles. I mean, he doesn't make plays. I don't miss Patrick Queen.
Do they?
I don't think so. Everybody, at the beginning of the year, do we miss Patrick Queen? Then all of a sudden.
Oh, you could look for a DM coming at you pretty soon here from Patrick Queen. I'm looking forward to that.
I don't dislike the guy personally.
No, he's a really good guy. And I think he's done a good job for the Steelers. You have to understand, from their point of view, the Steelers have had total disruption ever since Shazier went down. He is at least representing to me someone.
Hold on a second.
Along with Alandon Robertson, Peyton Wilson, those are guys who've made the inside much better for the Steelers, comparatively.
I mean, just because I can't point to, like, plays that jump out that were memorable. Except for the one against the Ravens, I don't think that means he's not playing well.
No, but when I see a guy
in the middle of their defense on a really good top five defense in the league scoring wise right now, I think he's doing his job. I think he's been pretty good in coverage, and I think he's been pretty good as a run stopper. He hasn't been Ray Lewis, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been good.
And that's fine. I don't think we really miss Patrick Lee. I'm glad he's working out for you. I don't dislike the guy. This thing went left because I was asked the opinion of Patrick Queen. It was which I don't regret. I'll always give you my opinion. I'm not worried about being popular. I'll give you my opinion. And at the same time, if I saw Patrick Queen at Jimmy Seafood here in Baltimore, hey, what's going on, man? How you doing? How you doing? That's it.
You might in the end be right here. Because his PFF grade, I don't know how much you believe in Pro Football Focus, but Bob, his PFF grade is not great.
Yeah, well, those go up and down. It's funny how that works. They look at different metrics in that when they start grading. But five tackles for losses, when you break it down that way after these games, is not impressive. I'll grant you that. I mean, I expected bigger plays from him. But I think, again, given what they've had at inside linebacker, he's solidified that position.
They've got him at a 58.5, which is 59th out of 83 linebackers. That's not great. I'll acknowledge that. You should start another social media war with him, Rob. That would be tremendous.
I've never had a war. A war's got to be two sides. He said something, I didn't respond. You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, Patrick Queen's a lot younger than me. He's a lot more experienced on social media battles than me. I'll lose that battle.
Rob, we appreciate the time, man. Great stuff.
Always.
As
really
always.
Fun talking to you, Rob. Thanks.
Always. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll see you. That was good stuff, Bob, was it not?
Yeah, he's my favorite guest. He cuts right to the chase. He doesn't talk too long. He does what he's got to do. And I like it. I think it's – but he's right. You know, I mean, from their point of view, I understood – maybe they didn't want to pay that kind of money, and they know.
Well, let's analyze this in a minute here because we're way into overtime. We're into penalty kicks now. We have the big boy at 12. Let's talk about Patrick Queen and some of the other lightning rod players on this defense, Bob, including Joey Porter Jr. First, the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's now 12:02, time to call the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. We got the big boy coming up. We have all kinds of treats. You're not leaving earlier today, are you, Bob?
I'll be staying
for the duration.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
You told me
at 1 o'clock,
you understood all this stuff, here you go.
I just like to take subtle shots. Like part-time pomp as a nickname. It's fun.
You won't see me the next 2 days, though. I have other requirements that I have to do for my main job.
I know. Oh, his main job.
What is my main job? I've been on TV for 43 years at KDK. That's my main job.
43 years. That's how long Joe Patochnik's been in business. Congratulations to you, Bob. You should grow a mustache in his honor.
I see you have one. I can't.